Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. So we come to think about prayer. Just last week we were thinking about what should be our priority. And Jesus comes to the house of Mary and Martha. And Martha is busy in the kitchen preparing. And Mary comes and sits at his feet. Martha comes in and says, why isn't she helping me? Get her to help me. And Jesus says, "Look, you are worried and distracted by many things. But I tell you, only a few things are needed. In fact, only one. And Mary has chosen the better part." And we learned about how the priority for all those who want to find out about God, for all those who walk in relationship with him, is to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen, to let God set the agenda, to let him reshape our minds, to let him be in charge. So how do we respond? If we're going to sit at Jesus' feet, metaphorically, by opening his word, how will we respond? Well, obvious way to respond is to do what he says. But how do we speak back? You know, I think it is that everybody prays. At least survey after survey shows that at least 80% of the population of our country pray. And when you think that maybe about 10% go to church, the idea of 80% praying really is quite something. There'll be those who follow other faiths, and so they'll be praying perhaps in different ways. But there'll be all sorts of people who, when they get to points of real desperation, pray. And our passage today opens as Jesus is praying. Imagine you're one of Jesus' disciples, one of the 12. You've seen him do all sorts of amazing things. And every day you see him praying. And I would imagine, just like everything else, Jesus does it better. The way that Jesus talked and taught was just so much better than those who were in pain, those who needed healing. It was not like any doctor. And Jesus' disciples, they watch Jesus pray. And they say, "Lord, teach us to pray, What was it in Jesus' prayer life that was so different? You see, you might come along here. You might come along here each week and we have our time of intercession. Maybe each day there's a particular time when you kneel by your bedside or sit in a particular chair and pray. Maybe you've been using these Lenten devotions or other similar resources to help direct and guide your prayer life. Well, it seems very natural, actually, for Jesus' disciples, as they see Jesus pray, to say, Lord, teach us. Teach us to pray like you do. And I want to bring out three things about the way in which Jesus instructs his followers to pray. I'd love to spend about six sermons on the Lord's Prayer alone. And then I'd like to take us to one thing about the way we should pray. Jesus says to them, when you pray, say, Father. The first thing to notice about about how we ought to pray is that it is relational. Well, this isn't some mantra that you repeat on autopilot, time after time. This isn't some repetition of words that you say because it will somehow get you into a particular meditative state, or it will somehow detach you from your physical surroundings. No, this is prayer that is relational. And the word there for Father would have been shocking for those who heard. It's the word for Daddy. And my children, when they come to me, they come to me and go, Daddy, and immediately they're tapping into my relationship with them. And actually, the chances are, if I was out in the street and some child came up and said, oh, please, can you help me? I'm sure I'd help. But with expectation that they can come up to their daddy and ask, and daddy wants to say yes. Now, there is, frankly, a time when they come and say, Daddy, can we go to the sweet shop? When they know that the chances are it won't be a yes. But it doesn't stop them asking. There are times when the daddy then goes to a complaint about what somebody's done to them. But why do they say it? Because they know that when they come up to daddy to complain that their brother just hit them, they know they're coming to somebody who is in relationship with them and will sympathize. When they come up and they say, Daddy, what time's tea time? They know that I'm going to provide for them. This is relational. We're not coming to manipulate God. We're not coming to say, if I say this certain prayer in this way, in this place, this many times a day, facing in this direction, then God will hear me. No, we come on the basis of relationship. And therefore, all that we say to God in prayer is part of our relationship with our Father. And therefore, it might be that 80% of the population pray, but it isn't that they all pray to their Father. When we come in prayer, we come to the person who we learn about as we sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said, what I've heard from the Father, I've made known to you. Prayer is about relationship. We sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. And when we pray, we speak. That's why Jesus says, when you pray, say. Prayer is our response to God. It's relational. Second thing is, prayer is immensely simple. I forget how many books I've got on my bookshelves about prayer, how many seminars I've been in, how many prayer meetings, how many books about creative prayer have been published, conferences about prayer. And Jesus' disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us to pray. And he gives them eight lines. Profound, deep lines that contain in them so much. And yet it's immensely simple. When you pray, say. It's not about a particular venue. Although there can be a usefulness about going to particular places, somewhere quiet. The same that has been filled with the prayers of people for hundreds of years. But it's not necessary. It's simple. Just pray. When you pray, say this. Our physical posture is really useful because it helps focus us. You know, if you lounge on your sofa under a blanket, the chances are within 5 minutes you're going to be asleep. If you kneel by your bedside, you are putting yourself in a position of humility. And that helps us as we pray. But it's not necessary. When you pray, say, Father. Again, this isn't about learning some particular language. It's not like we believe that God has revealed himself in a particular language and therefore we need to do that. We don't, unfortunately, run ancient Greek classes here in church, or Aramaic, or Hebrew. Even though if that's something you want to do, then brilliant, because it'll help you to understand the Bible. But we don't need to learn some special method to pray to God. We don't need, even though it might be helpful, we don't need to follow particular formulas. When you pray, say, Father. Relational and simple. Look at the things he prays. Hallowed be your name. That is, God, it's all about you. Your kingdom come. And that's the third thing I want to say. Look how Jesus makes this all about God. You see, prayer is not like writing to Father Christmas. You know, if you write a letter to Father Christmas, although I have actually read one of these from my children, you don't write, Dear Father Christmas, how are you? How's Rudolph? I hope you've been having a wonderful time since last Christmas. And you don't expect a response. No, you go, here's my list. This is what I want. But you see how when Jesus sets up this prayer, relational, simple, but it's all about God. It's about God's kingdom. It's about what he wants. It's about his glory. And then it's about the things that we need. There's no prayer for the winning of the lottery, or for comfort, or for physical healing. Not those things might always be wrong. But we pray regularly in this church for physical healing, and sometimes God grants it. We pray for financial provision. And I'm sure if you've been down in your luck, you'll have got to those moments where you are praying desperately. And God answers. But this is, give us each day our daily bread. Lord, give me what I need right now. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. What do we basically need? We need God's forgiveness. We need our relationship with God to daily be renewed, freshened by his forgiveness. And we need to be led in a way that is safe and secure, that's nowhere near temptation. Relational, simple, and God. And so it'd be very tempting for me now to then go into, let me now give you all sorts of hints and tips about how you should pray. Let me recommend some resources. Let me recommend an excellent book of, you know, I don't know, 100 pages. But no, Jesus thinks that a couple of verses is enough. So that's got to be enough for us. But then he does give them two stories. And I want to just draw out what these two stories have in common. So the first is this. Somebody comes to your house late at night. Now, in Middle Eastern culture, this would be particularly significant. Somebody comes to your house late at night, and you open up your home to them. That it would have been absolutely necessary. That's what you do. They come to your house, but you go, and there is nothing in the cupboard. And to have nothing to provide for a guest, well, that's embarrassing. So what do? You go next door, and you bang on the door until they give you what you need. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Shameless audacity. Think about a time. Have you ever woken anybody up in the middle of the night? You know, if you're going to go knock on a neighbor's house in the middle of the night, it's going to be urgent, isn't it? It'll be, you know, you've just fallen down the stairs, and your brain is oozing out of your ear, and all you've got is enough strength to knock on the wall and go, please come and help me. Or your child is sick and you've got to take them to hospital, but the other children are asleep and you need someone just to come and watch the children. I remember this. I remember when we'd arranged a friend who was going to come over when Elspeth was born. So there, Sophie is 9 months pregnant, and we have a friend's number, so he says, yep, I think we have to make the call. So I ring this friend's house, And my friend, Pete, answers and hangs up. Why? Ring me at 2 a.m. So he hangs up the phone. So we ring again. No answer. He's obviously put it on silent. We ring again. And eventually, he answers the phone. And I think, Pete, Pete, we're having a baby. Did he come because he loved us? Did he come because he thought, oh, I'm a bit bored in the middle of the night? No, he came because of our shameless audacity. I kept ringing. So I tell you, says Jesus, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. If you do not ask, you will not get. That's what Jesus says. If you don't knock on the door, no one's going to open it. Just think about the second thing. He goes, look, which one of you, okay, has decided that it's Easter coming up? It's brilliant. So, you know what, we're going to make Easter more fun this year. So instead of getting the chocolate egg, as usual, you know, from Cadbury's or whoever, and presenting it to them, no, you get a grenade, and you pull out the pin, and you wrap it up in foil. So that on Easter Sunday, when they come down all excited, they take off the foil and pa-poom. Who would do that? Not a single one of us. And if I compare you with God, or I compare me with God, I'm evil in comparison. That is, if you look at who's holy and who's not, well, I'm stuffed up, and yet I'm still better than that. So why do I think that God's going to be so miserly? And I tell you, when my children come, they don't normally seem to ask me for a fish or an egg. They tend to ask me for chocolates or cake. But when they come with shameless audacity to ask for what they want, do I give? And when I don't give it to them, it's not because I'm miserly. It's not because I really want the last Rolo myself. No, it's because actually giving them sweets at the time isn't the best idea. And so they come up and they say, Daddy, can we have a snack? Can we have a snack? I said, no, tea's going to be ready in 10 minutes. See, why don't we always get what we want? Or maybe it's because we don't know best. And God does. You see, I think what both these things have in common is the sheer audacity of those who ask. That boldness to say, I'm going to ask. And we have a Heavenly Father who has given us Himself. God, the Son, has come and given His life for us, and now we go, oh, I don't really think I can ask God for that. So if I can have one thing, one improvement to our prayer lives as a church, as individuals, it would be this, to be really bold. To be bold, not in sort of saying, God, here's my Christmas list. I want all these things. No. But it's to say, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Hallowed be your name. Lord, forgive me. Lord, lead me into ways of righteousness and far away from temptation. Be bold. Let's pray together. Lord our God, faithful one, generous one, Lord, guide our prayers, we pray. Make us bold to come to our Heavenly Father with simplicity. And Lord, we do pray too that you would guide us in our prayers, that they might all be focused towards you, towards your kingdom and your righteousness. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.